Ted Watterson was a detective with an excellent reputation. Tonight, Ted was discouraged and was telling his friend Bill Leonard about it. The chief called me in this afternoon and told me if I didn't show some results in this case, he'd have to assign it to someone else. Now, that's the case of the disappearing professors, isn't it? Yeah. How far the country's leading scientists could disappear without leaving a clue is beyond me. Say, how about bringing me up to date, Ted? Well, about 15 years ago, four men made up the board of directors of a scientific society. They had to expel one of the members for illegal experimentation. This man swore he'd get his revenge, and then promptly slipped into oblivion. Shucks, that's easy, Ted. The man got his revenge. He murdered the board of directors, picked them off one by one. All you have to do is find the expelled professor, and your case is solved. Oh, you think so, huh? What if I told you I have found him? Yeah? Where? Riverview Cemetery. He died 10 years ago. Well, that's that. What was his name? Marcel Dudevant. Forget about your case for a few days. Why not spend Saturday and Sunday at my country place with me? See, that's an idea. Okay. Hey, get your things packed. We'll drive up this afternoon. Bill's summer place was far from the cry of the city. Its houses, its people, and its ways had changed little in the past 50 years. And when the two men finally arrived on its main street late that night, they found the town deserted. Their car slowly wound its way up to the street where Bill's house stood. And they were about to swing into the driveway when Bill noticed a figure trudging along on the other side of the road. He turned his spotlight on the man, a neatly dressed, bearded fellow who called out to them, "That you, Bill?" "Yeah, I thought that was you, Doc. What are you doing out this time of the night?"
"Been to see a patient down the street."
"Hey, you're just in time to have a little nightcap with me and my friend Ted. Come on in, I'll put the car away."
A few minutes later, all three men were comfortably seated in Bill's living room, and Bill was pouring as he said,
"Ted's a detective, Doc, one of the best in the city."
"Really? Looking for someone up here, Mr. Watterson?"
"Nope, Ted just came up for a rest."
"Fine place here. I've been resting for 10 years.
Doc Barnsdale here is the best pill peddler for 50 miles around. Tell Ted how you came to settle here, Doc."
"Well, I had to leave the city. My health, you know. Came up here for a rest. Liked it so well, I can't leave." Ted spoke for the first time.
"Not interested in the city practice anymore, doctor?"
"Nope. I like to do research. In fact, I have my own laboratory right in my backyard. Drop around sometime. I'll show you."
A short time later, the doctor left. And as the two boys were preparing for bed, Bill said, "You know, when Doc first came here, there was a lot of gossip about him. People said he was a well-known surgeon and had to leave the city because of some scandal. Well, that's all over now, and Doc's one of our most respected citizens."
Seems like a nice sort of person.
I think I'll accept his invitation and look over his laboratory tomorrow."
Next afternoon, Ted did just that and was surprised at the medical man's equipment. One thing especially interested him, an electric generator large enough to light an entire village. What did Barnsdale, the doctor, need with so much electricity? It made him curious. Another thing that struck him, there were at least 6 dogs in his yard and all seemed to be afraid of the doctor. Ted decided to satisfy that curiosity bump and look over the doc's equipment again, but this time without the doctor. He told Bill, and Bill said,
"But why? What do you think he's done?"
"Well, I don't know, but I've got an enormous bump, curiosity. And I'd like to learn what he does with all that power he generates."
"If you're caught, you'll get into trouble."
"I know all about that. Want to come along?"
"Nope, but I will."
Late that night, the two men crept quietly over to Dr. Barnsdale's laboratory. Ted went inside while Bill kept watch on the outside. What Ted was most interested in was the basement, but a careful search revealed no way of getting down there. As he was about to give up, he looked into a closet. There was nothing but an old sweater hanging on a hook. As he reached to inspect it, he slipped, and to save himself from falling, he grabbed the sweater. The result was spectacular. One of the closet walls rose slowly and silently, revealing a stairway to the cellar. It was dark, but Ted managed to make his way down a step at a time. At the bottom of the stairs, he stopped and listened. The soft hum of a generator and motors reached his ears. Then another sound, a dog barking. Then came still another sound.
I don't know it. Well, maybe we can.
Men whispering. Cautiously, he turned on his flashlight and swung the arc around the room. It rested on a sight that made Ted's body go limp. There before him, securely fastened to a glass pedestal, was the head of a large dog, barking. Ted approached the animal to examine it more closely, and then he saw that it had no body, just a head. Fastened on a glass case full of pumps and heaters and liquids. Astonished and horrified, Ted stared at the unfortunate result of man's experimentation. Then he heard a human voice. A voice that seemed to be calling at the top of its lungs, but was making almost no sound.
Help! Help!
Quickly, Ted swung his light around. His amazement turned from wonder to unspeakable horror. For in another corner of the room were four more of the glass pedestals with their pumps and heaters and liquids. And on each pedestal rested a man's head. And each head was alive. Alert eyes blinked in the light from the flashlight. Lips moved as though speaking, pleading, begging. Ted moved over closer and placed his ear to the lips of the first head. It spoke.
Turn on the lights. Switch behind me.
Ted did so. The room was enormous. It contained a dozen or so of the glass pedestals. All but five of them were empty. But these five were topped by living heads. Four human, one canine. There was something horribly unnatural about the sight of these living, bodiless heads. It made Ted's flesh crawl, but he forced himself to speak to one of the heads. Who did this to you?
He did. Dr. Dudevant.
Dr. Dudevant? That's impossible. He's been dead for 10 years.
Not dead. Here.
Ted's case had been solved. He'd found the missing Dr. Dudevant, and apparently these were the four missing scientists. But now that he'd found them, what could he do with them? If the doctor were arrested, how could these heads be kept alive? While he was thinking, a door opened silently, and the man known as Dr. Barnsdell entered.
Good evening, Mr. Watterson.
Good evening, Dr. Dudevant.
So, you've discovered my identity.
I have. And I'm placing you under arrest.
Placing me under arrest? Do you think you'll ever leave this place again?
I certainly will, and you're coming with me.
I have other plans, Mr. Watterson. I'm going to place your head on a glass pedestal as I have the others. You'll be in good company. Look at them, Mr. Watterson. Four of our most brilliant scientists.
You'll hang for this, Dudevant.
I don't think so. Without me, these heads would die, and the greatest discovery in medical history would be lost. And besides, Mr. Watterson, I've always wanted to add a detective to my collection.
Well, here's one detective you won't add.
I'm going to leave you here. There are four trapdoors in this room. If you step on any one of them, you'll be dropped into a cell below. Once that is accomplished, you can be easily handled. Good night, Mr. Watterson.
The doctor turned to leave, but before he could reach the door, Bill's voice was heard from the closet door.
Hold it, Doc. I got a gun. Don't move.
With a snarl, the doctor whirled, and as he did so, Ted grabbed him. Struggle was short and decisive. Dr. Dudevant was captured. At least 50 scientists, all famous, came to pay their respects to the four heads. All four begged to die rather than continue their horrible existence. The motors that pumped the life-giving fluids into the heads were turned off. The eyes closed, and eternal rest overtook them. Dr. Dudevant was tried, convicted, but cheated the law by committing suicide. So ended the case of the disappearing professors. And now, I'll return in just a few seconds. Meanwhile, listen to what your announcer has to say. I hope I haven't frightened you with my eerie story. If you'd like to hear more, be at your radio when we meet again for another Spine Tingler. In the meantime, this is Sidney Mason assuring you that there are no spirits, no black magic, no supernatural, no criminals roam the roads. There's nothing to be afraid of, really, but just the same, lock your windows and doors, pull down your shades, cover up. You never can tell what might happen. So long.